again, the whole purpose for what we're doing and the whole purpose and motivation for what Hoso's doing there with the Black Scorpion Temple, see, is that some, like a tuning fork, hear the Dharma. And they hear it in a way that eventually just takes over your life. Hoso didn't initially have any real interest in Zen, but she was interested in art and calligraphy, sumi-ye paintings, because she is an artist, see? And you can never tell how these things work. So she heard about the Tanahashi sensei, who is a painter and a calligrapher, and had done a lot of work at Daido's place. And if any of you had looked at Daido's websites in the earlier years, you'd see a lot of Tanahashi's paintings there, and some of them quite expensive. I think now Tanahashi, most of the time, is in Joan Halifax's place in Santa Fe, and I know they travel to Japan together. So Hoso went to Daido's place to study calligraphy. And while there, of course, they would sit, and then the bulk of the day was devoted to art, and then in the evening they'd sit. And she picked up a book or two there, and of course her interest, see, immediately ignited. And something bursts forth often with people that are totally consumed with the Dharma. And at some point you realize that there is no other way that you could conceive of expressing your life other than through this practice. You begin to see that all of the different avenues that are available to you, and with a little bit of sitting, for some, you begin to see that they basically are all bankrupt. You'll know after a short time, after you explore, when we're young. I always use an example. I had friends, see, boy, we couldn't wait to get out of school or out of work during different periods on Friday night, because, you know, most of the time if I'd go to work now, I'd be exhausted Friday night. I'd want to just crash. But then you're invigorated. You want to go out into the great adventure. And what was so super about it, see, is you knew that tomorrow there were no constraints in the morning, and then Saturday night, and you would just go. And I'll tell you something. I ran with my friends like that, and it didn't take me very long to really see the depth and the shallowness of that particular lifestyle. Even if the best things that could happen to you, which very infrequently did, see, well, I leave it up to you to guess what young men were looking for. Well, I come out of a couple of fights and bars, you know, those kind of macho things, see. But it always ended up sort of a downer. That was the thing that bothered me. Either I had burnt myself up so that usually by Sunday, you know, I didn't want to do much. We'd go out to the park and just get under a tree and sort of sleep and, you know, in pain. And then Monday again. And so it was this kind of a bankrupt thing. But I began to find that very young, very early in my life. I had friends that never did seem to learn that lesson. When I was many, many years later, a friend of mine still runs the same way we did when we were 18 and 19 years old. And this is a man now he's gone beyond that. He's older than I am. I'm not even sure that he's alive. But he was still doing this. And he was a good friend of mine in Goshen's. He was still living that lifestyle when he's in his 50s. And it was incomprehensible to me why you would continue to do that. Because of the pain and the suffering. And I think part of the thing with this friend of mine was that he was forever trapped in the suffering, and he never recognized, he could never ever take that backward step where he would ask the question, is there something, see, other than the way that I'm moving that might bring me peace of mind? I don't think that he ever asked, and I don't think many people do. The majority of people trapped in the patterns that they have themselves established until this life, this most amazing life, begins to close out. See, and then you're down to where you only function in several ways. You can't, in most instances, you can't run the way you did when you were younger. Even this friend of mine who had this kind of energy, which is stunning, sometimes 2 and 3 days without sleeping, see. I think now that it was sort of aberrant behavior rather than, you know, just bizarre to me. But anyway, at some point, you begin to recognize that the best fantasy that you can think of, you realize how all fantasies end. You see what is going on around you. And like I've said over and over, all new cars get old. See, you move into the big house, and you really take care of it for a, pretty soon, unless you're kind of a compulsive cleaner and stuff, pretty soon you just kind of treat it the same way. See, all things end that way. Ultimately, all things eventually grind to a halt. See, come on in, Kogi. And for many people, see, that isn't enough. That isn't a satisfactory response to life. See, life is so much more than that. So for Hoso, what she has done, see, is the Dharma is simply taking her over. Anybody who visits this house and you listen to the story of this house, as she said, for 10 years she held this white elephant. When you see these pictures, our ceiling is low compared to her living room ceiling. You wonder when you look at it, how could anybody make that much of a mistake? She communicated to the architect and the builder clearly what she wanted, see? And then when you see what was there, and she told me, she said, Yogan, I was stunned. I could hardly talk when she went up and saw it. You know, and then she immediately wanted to talk to the architect. See, and he couldn't understand what the problems are. And she looked at this huge studio for herself, and she said, Cesar, what is this? He said, I wanted you to have a big place so you could expand. She said, but my paintings are this size. See, what is it? See, and then she really didn't utilize it in that sense. She just simply held it, wondering, waiting. See, and this great Buddha mind, this great Dharma was simply unfolding. See, in the most magical way. And then it became, and I think probably with Ento as much as anything, a question of what to do there, and in a way, how to seduce me down into this place that she felt was magical, that she felt. And then Domon and Ento visited, and they both came back and started trying to sell it to me. Mujo went down there and was stricken with the beauty. It's more than beauty. You can find places with beauty. Energy. There is something very special happening there. And I believe this without any hesitation. The land itself is different. See? And you can yet find volcanic landscapes, see, where the trees and the vegetation are breaking through and you still have the beauty, see, of the lava that is frozen into place in rock form. But there is something else special. There is a vibration. Now, Domon was telling me, and some of you have heard me talk about this, that when you get deep enough in your samadhi, you can actually experience and to say, here isn't quite right. You experience the vibration of the earth. People would poop all that, and I'm certainly in people in here when I've told you that about the Soko story, and particularly at Mountain Center. And I thought she was listening to the evening insects. She said, well, can't you hear it? Can't you hear it? So Soko, everybody can hear the insects. You're not having any kind of a deep, deep samadhi experience. Then at Mountain Center, finally I got quiet enough, and I was stunned by it. And it isn't so much as you hear it as you feel it. And Domon was saying just the other day, now that the scientists have verified that hum is there, to describe, see, the vibration. See, if you think in terms of even the quantum physicists and the vibrations of the string theory, the string, see, the vibration, the movement, it's there, and it depends on what level you're functioning. See, so as this begins to unfold, like with Hoso, see, it just simply blossomed. And you can no longer, for me, I can no longer see where the Black Scorpion Temple begins or Hoso ends. See, this has just become, see, the center of her mandala, her opening, see, into the Dharma. And in it, it is so filled with selfless compassion. It is a place that she welcomes, see, she welcomes. She truly wants people to practice there. And so we have that great good fortune. Most amazing. I'm hoping that all of you, we've already talked a little bit about how we can eventually work that out so that people can use that as sort of our mountain retreat, because it is staggering in the power. But the most important part of all of this, see, is what is it that's unfolding when we talk about mind, this Buddha mind, this Dharma unfolding? What is it that we're talking about? What is it that we're trying to cultivate? We're going into a 3-day session now, and it's most important for all of you that if you really hear this at all, if you're not yet sick and tired of your old patterns, you should try to really, really exhaust the attachments, see, to that delusional mind. See, and again, when I'm talking like this, some of you will interpret this, well, he's telling me not to have any fun. No, what I'm trying to tell you is what you perceive to be enjoyable, what you perceive to be fun, what you perceive to be a rich experience in your life is not at all that. Anything that comes out of the world of samsara is delusional, and all delusion ends in suffering. This is what Buddha talked about when he said, life is suffering. See, and again, I don't know what his the original language would be. I'd like to see the interpretation, because he really isn't saying life is suffering. He's saying that the delusional life, the conditioned life, see, is suffering. And that was my point, that some people hear and immediately they turn around and they begin to seek a way out of what they see as a box canyon. You're trapped in there. And you simply sort of wait out your time. You go into the retirement mode. See, you're just waiting until it's kind of, I'm glad Judy's not here to hear this. So you can leave the office, see, whatever that means. You just won't show up one day. Everybody will say, where's old Charlie Brown? And say, well, he retired, see, permanently. See. But again, that's the short-sighted, that's the negative, see. That isn't what Buddha's talking about. See, this most amazing, for those of you who have seen it, this Joe Boltz, again, realize, and again, I emphasize this to try to blow apart the conditioned aspect. Did you get to see her tape, Ishin?
I read the transcript.
Should see her present it. That's better. That's really much better, because she's a very dynamic speaker. But at the point of surrender, see, what did she go into? This bliss-like state. See, the wonder of what? That she was the life force of the universe. See, my teacher would say that over and over again. You are creation. You are the universe unfolding. See, now, if you don't grasp, see, that the conditioned mind cannot experience the infinite. If it could experience the infinite, if it could make that its actualized reality, then it would no longer be the finite mind. It would no longer be the dualistic mind. It would be the enlightened mind, the mind of great prajna, of great wisdom. See, so the important part is to first hear this message, that Buddhism is about building a joyful, a rich, blissful, happy life. Gyonin was telling me they asked the Dalai Lama on that. What is Buddhism? It's very simple. What do you want from? To be happy. That's what it is. Very simple. What is Buddhism? It's to make you, allow you to have this happy life. And lo and behold, how do you find out that you can be make yourself the most secure and the happiest is when you take care of all of this here. See? And again, that should be for all of you, particularly those of you who take this seriously at all. Of course, if I fragment myself and I see this as the enemy, see, if the world of oneness is real, and science is in that now, see, then if you cause that split, that schism that exists there, see, you put yourself at opposition with yourself. You're chewing on yourself. Hence the old Zen masters say, you produce your own heaven or hell. See, it rests solely on your shoulders. The great Hong Zhe, I think it was, Fayan, see, he said at some place, he said, you will not allow yourself to go into degrading situations. Why? Because they ultimately always cause pain, and they are not life-enhancing. See, and Buddhadharma is about an enhanced life, a life of joy. Now, depending on how you judge these things, you could have judged me if you look over. There was a time when I had material things. I don't now, see? And even less and less do I have. But you should be able to come on this side of my eyeballs and look out. And you should have been able to start with me 39 years ago. And I tell you, and this is no exaggeration, see, that on a weekly basis, I would celebrate, always on Sunday evenings, the close of the weekend, see, and I went to this beautiful place where I lived in gardens, see, and I would put on Hindu sacred music, see, and I would sit there and wonder at the bliss of my life. That's how I experienced it. And if you're not beginning to experience your practice in that way, Gyonin took me over to the doctor today, and that's what she was saying, that she and Shindo had talked about how rich their lives were now. And I forget what she said, it was gloomy, or I don't forget your exact words. But see, that's how it really is in the world of samsara. If you choose that way, if you look around, see, and you begin to see, my God, you know, I'm living in a bankrupt world, see. But even in the midst of hell, see, you can turn this into something else. See, if you can turn the head around, if you can flip-flop the mind, not being dominated by the dualistic mind, see, that brings up separation. See, the separation is the duality leads to pain and suffering, or we can call it greed and anger, and you can lump everything under that. By the way, in Santo Domingo, we never heard these things. At this time of night, what you would be the annoying sound of night birds waking up. Beautiful songs, see. Was the only one who complained about that was Kyoji, who jumped up and said, God damn it, Nyogen, I want some sirens so that we can at least record some siren sounds. See. But again, I'm stressing that if you really apply yourself to the practice and then you have to drop the judgmental mind, see, you will hold yourself back. If you sit this three-day sesshin, then you walk out and you say, well, what am I experiencing? Well, I'm not experiencing any bliss. Of course you're not, because you're in the delusional mind. You're in the mind that picks and chooses. This is the mind of passion. The mind of passion is the mind that says this is good and that's bad. See, what Buddha saw, you can come through this. This was the great discovery of Buddha. See, and he was just a man. See, but oh, what does that mean? See, it means to start with that it isn't some kind of a deity that flies down and is at a distance and is so august that none of us in this room, see, can hope to realize and actualize what an enlightened life is. And it's amazing, see, and that's what I feel tongue-tied. See, I feel that I don't have the eloquence of language to get you to understand what Buddhism is about and the beauty of it, the beauty of it. So this woman suffering a brain hemorrhage tells you something. See, first, the one major thing, and this is Dharma. Anyone else have that experience? Or 99 and 9/10 of them, they'll panic. They'll clutch at the pain. They thrash about in the pain. See? But she didn't. She stayed clear. See? She herself used in the title Nirvana. See, entering Nirvana while having a stroke, was that what it said? Something like that, right? See? That's no coincidence. There are no coincidences. And in my opinion, see, we've reached a place in the world of samsara where it is so oppressive and so destructive that we're tearing up the very environment that supports the material world, see, life, see. And then See, all of the champions of the enlightened mind, they marshal together, they try to come out. Yonan was telling me about the one person today I didn't go into too much, because I deliberately will try to shy away from these things, allow people to explore for themselves. But this person she was listening to and talking was saying that right here, right now, that we are limited in our perception, but there are all sorts of things going on right here, right now. Absolutely, absolutely. See, the great Dogen Zenji says that once you can cross that barrier, the barrier of dualism, see, of punching past this experience of I am a separate self. See, and it has to be done with absolute precision. You can't cross your fingers. But once you punch through that, Dogen said, all of your questions will be answered. And beyond this are infinite universes. Not someplace out there. See, right here, right now. This is the most amazing part of it. See? So as you go into this, and if you're tired, see, of not experiencing your life as joyful, as rich, as exciting. See, here I am, I'm 72 now. See, and honestly, the depression that I go into, and I do, I think it's a depression that teachers struggle with, it has to relate with students. See, one of the most depressing experiences for me is when people try to hustle me. See, when they try to present themselves as something other than what they are. I keep walk in, see, and they're convincing me that they are worthy of becoming a transmission holder. And I often wonder, why do you think I sat 27 years with Roshi? You don't think that you're terribly obvious? And it doesn't make me angry. It makes me very sad and very depressed. And part of that, see, is then there's this, I worry about the hazy moon. See, now all of a sudden, Hoso, see, I have to, and when you see this, you'll see, and if you could walk on the grounds and you could go into that Zendo, you would see, I have to be spending and giving her an equal amount of time. But how do I do that? See, how do I make certain that this little temple, which gave birth, see, to the Black Scorpion Temple, Hoso sat as a Shuso, as a head monk here. See? So how do we guarantee it all? So here, there will be some changes. I'm going to have to rely on a couple of the seniors to take more responsibility. And that does bother me. Not the thought of going there. I could go there in a blink and not come back. I mean it. I could go in a blink. But I also have a tremendous love affair with this hazy moon. You can't imagine what the hazy moon has given to me. Those who knew me, and I don't suppose anybody in here I would talk real intimately about my practice with, but in the past there have been those. There was nothing I wanted to do more than sit the long retreats, the long, deep retreats, because my experience was that the more that I sat, and that I sat with real earnestness, see, I really went in not to simply get into a state where my fantasies and my daydreams were more vibrant. You can use sesshin that way. And that's one of the dangers, because it is like beginning to look at everything through a magnifying. Everything is exaggerated. That's why when you crack into a makyo, it becomes so exaggerated. See, but you can also make your fantasies more vibrant, more fascinating. And I suspect, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but I suspect there's been a few of you in here who have spent days, Doman laughs at the rest of you. See, but it's true. We all have done this, see. But if you keep pulling the ox back, see, keep. And again, why this? Because it does come up for me, because I worry about both centers now. I worry about the people in both centers. See, I do all that worrying. And there's nothing that Roshi would tell me, nothing to worry about, Nyogen. It will, this Buddha mind will unfold in the way it's going to. Just as the Black Scorpion Temple was born, even though all of her planning, and this is no dumb lady, speaks languages, degrees, see, all of her calculations didn't matter squat. She thought the architect understood what she wanted. See? But he didn't have a choice. The Dharma told him what to build. And that's what he sort of stands there and says, well, it's a great. She, yeah, but what am I going to do with it? It's like a hotel, you know, a ski lodge, see? Oh, I mean, it's got a fireplace like you can't believe, see? But again, see, the wonder of it, how we got this place here. You know, there's the finances, it doesn't make sense. See, can you slip in and do all sorts of strange dualistic calculations? Yeah. But then you're going to shut down and you're going to miss the magic, if you allow it. Roshi would always tell me, little by little, and Yogin, allow the Dharma to take you. The great Banki said, and some of you have heard me talk about this, some of you have read this. He said, live in the unborn mind. He said, 30 days even. But he said, if you live in the unborn mind, life is easy. See, you really don't have to do anything. Well, what does that mean? You curl up in the... No, no. You don't understand what it means, non-doing. They'll say that a Buddha is simply one who does nothing. What does that mean? See, it doesn't mean that they don't engage here. What it means is that they're not engaged in the egocentric mind pushing an agenda. That what appears is what you take care of. See, and that's what I was telling Hoso. She said, well, look at this now, Nyogen. She said, it's almost overwhelming. I said, but this is what you take care of. This is what has appeared. This is your karma. You cannot deny your karma. See, and each one of you, wherever you stand when you look out, see, that's the center of your mandala. See, the great Ta Wei, he says in here, he says, this affair that we're talking about is not a matter of intelligence. He says, nor does it lie in dull faculties or shallow understanding. Actually, it's just an abrupt bursting out. See, bursting out of what? Out of here. Bursting out to where? To here. Now, don't try to understand that. See, that's where we make the mistake. That's where I made the mistake over and over again, because I'd say, okay, now I see it, but I don't feel any great relief. I don't feel joyful. That's because I haven't burst out. See, I am still caught in that. And that is sort of a scary proposition, because if you are committed to your practice, more and more you'll begin to experience, and this is sort of the gradual aspect. The insights always come instantly. Bang, you get it. See, but the maturing, see, that's the jariki that builds. That's where we begin to live in the world of samadhi. See, in this non-distracted state of awareness, just right here. So it's a question of just being here. See, and then the great Dogen Zenji says, relating to what our little mind's planning, and you can see this so clearly in Hoso, you could see, hell, you know, some of you know, Doman and I were in Mexico when we stumbled on this. See, and they didn't even want me to see this. They wanted me to see a house a block over to rent. That's where we thought we were going. The most we hoped for was renting. And we were living in, you know, our zendo was Sunday mornings in Doman's father's house. See? I came down, and there was just this Dharma moving again. I looked at the one, I said, you know, I don't think so. So here I'd flown all the way from Mexico City.